Praise you, Lord.
Oh, come on. Is that the best you can do? Yeah. Thank you for that very scattered, however sincere, round of applause. I feel it right here in my bones. First thing before we kick this baby off, I would like, as I like to do whenever I travel about, I would like every gentleman who has nobly served this country to please stand. Whoever served this country here, please stand. Would you acknowledge him with me? I just love that, because we have so much to be thankful for these men and women who so nobly come to this country and give of themselves. All right. St. Peter was at the Golden Gate. A young man came running up. Oh, St. Peter. Woo! I am so glad to see you. Wow. A little nervous there. St. Peter, I'm happy to be here. St. Peter says, young man, whoa, not so fast. Because if you want to enter into the Golden Gates, you must have done something good. You got to tell me, what have you done good, young man? Young man thought. There was this time I was out in the Dakotas. There was this evil biker gang that was just getting after a young woman. Well, I wouldn't have any of that, St. Pete. So I walked over and I jumped in the middle of all those guys. I walked right up to the leader and I kicked his bike over. I walked up to him and I punched him in the stomach and I pulled his nose ring out and I turned to everybody else and I said, any of you guys want to get to this woman, you got to come through me. St. Peter said, that's very noble, very brave. How long ago did that happen? He said, about 3 minutes ago. I always like to start off a session with a little religious joke. You know what I mean? Have you ever had a first week like I had on the job back in 1980? Of course, I come from Buffalo, New York, that well-known Miami of the North. I'm feeling right at home tonight. I went to Syracuse University, drafted by the Steelers back in 1980. Yes, too late for the Super Bowls, and just like Tunch, too early for the million-dollar checks. My old man once told me, he said, you know, your timing was never good, son. Not when you came to the NFL, not when you was born. My first week, I get drafted by the Steelers, drafted as fifth round. And by the way, I know Tunch was here last year. Just realize, I was a fifth rounder. He was a sixth rounder. I like to point that out. But anyhow, my first week in camp, I come into St. Vincent College. You drive up there, and it's spectacular. You're in Latrobe there, right? And all you got in that place is you got cornfields to the west, you have a cemetery to the north, and a big old pond to the east. And that's it. That's nothing but football. And I remember being there and thinking, wow, the home of the four-time world champion Pittsburgh Steelers. And I'm here. I can be one of them. What a great opportunity. The first day was the running test. How many have gone up to St. Vincent's and seen the running test they have up there? I mean, back in the day when men were men, when Chuck Noll ruled camp. Back then it was 5 350s. You had to run 350 yards around the outside of the football field. You had 40 seconds rest, and you had to run it in 60 to 65 seconds. I absolutely do not understand the math. It was Chuck Noll math. All I knew was it hurt an awful lot. Okay? So on the first day, I, as a Steeler, I line up, and here's my idols. I'm standing between John Kolb and Mike Webster, and I'm determined in my mind I'm going to keep pace with the legendary Mike Webster and his big pipes, right? So we run, first one around the lap. Whew, whew, that hurt. Second one, boom, hurting even more. Third one, that's when my lungs just kind of caught fire on a 100 bazillion degree day. I'm in a little bit of pain now. Number four, the legs just died. I don't know where they went, but they weren't with me. All right? Legs just disappeared. The fifth one, it was all I could do to keep Mike Webster in sight. And as we passed the finish line, I crumpled over into a heap, and I lay there on my back, sobbing as my chest is going. Did you ever see Alien when the thing jumps out of the chest? That's what I thought was going to happen, right? So there I am, boom, boom. And all of a sudden, I feel like a little shade over me. And I look up, and like Clint Eastwood in High Noon, there is Mike Webster standing over me. And I think he noticed how hard I worked. He noticed what a good job I did running. My hero was going to say something to me. And I pulled myself up, and I looked up at Webby, and I said, "Hey, Mike." And he says, "Son, I want to make one thing perfectly clear. If it comes down to you needing mouth-to-mouth resuscitation or you dying, consider yourself a dead man." That's day one. Day two, we got the pads on now. Day two, we run the half-line drill. Now, half-line drill is from the left guard over to the right tackle with a tight end. Now, obviously, the defense, as dumb as they are, they got a clue something's coming that way, you figure? You're following me on this one? Come on, hey, get with it, boys, okay? So we got half a line. So all we're running is traps. And what it is, it's a train wreck. The defense knows where the play's coming. It's just hamburger session. I look over and I see I got the legendary Jack Ham coming in. I got a six trap. I pull from the left guard and I trap him. Now, this is great because Hammer's in like double-digit years. And I remember reading the press clippings. They all say, "Jack Ham is washed up. Jack Ham can't hit." I'm thinking, wow, this is my chance to light up a legend, a future Hall of Famer. Right there, Chuck Knoll is standing right there, and I'm going to do it. I pull down the line. I'm just steamrolling. And out of a sudden, there was a split. And I just remember seeing this bearded guy come out of there before he nearly broke me in half with a hit. He hit me so hard, I went concave, and I went down. And I looked over right at the feet of Chuck Knoll. Chuck looked at me and said, "Not very impressive." Day three, we're having a goal line scrimmage. I run a short trap pass. As I come around, I go down, boom. I feel a shot of pain up my ankle. I'm like, oh, no. I busted something. I heard something pop. I started yelling. I busted my ankle. I heard something pop. The trainers came out. They said, "Let's check it out." They rolled it down. The tape broke. It was the tape popping that I heard. Sorry, Chuck. What do you think Chuck said? Day number four in this odyssey. Day number four, I run a P-38 GO. Terry Bradshaw turns, pitches it. It was Sidney Bullfort and takes the pitch. Going outside. I pull from the left guard. I got to read the coverages, right? Number one, I look to the corners. Mel Blunt has gone off. He's running a man coverage. That means the strong safety's coming up. Strong safety. Big Woo. I mean, come on. The guy's, what, 200 pounds? What's his name? Donnie Shell. As I turned up, there was a terrific collision. And moments later, I set a body-tossing record. Rather, Donnie set a body-tossing record. As I flew and thumped, where do you think I landed? What do you think he said? Day five, I called Pops up. "Dad, what do you think?" Day one, I died running gassers. Day two, Hammer breaks me in half. Day three, kind of had an accidental injury that really wasn't an injury, and it's too long a story. Day four, Donnie Shell sets a body-tossing record with me. All the time, Chuck is watching. He's not impressed. So what do you think? I hear my dad go, "Esther, don't clean out his room. The friggin' kid's going to be back next week." It always seemed like Chuck was eyeballing me at camp. You know, but in essence, fellas, we are all being eyeballed, are we not? 2 Chronicles 16:9. Pat, you want to recite it with me? My brother Pat is part of a huddle group, men's ministry we have at South Hills Bible Chapel. If you ever want remedial memory group lessons, we can do it. You want to talk about listening to a group of idiots? It's like almost painful as we recite our memory verses. But let me go with it right now. 2 Chronicles 16:9. "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those hearts who are fully committed to Him." Love that verse. Love it. First of all, does it not smoke anybody in this place that the Lord has eyes? I think that is like amazing. He sees us by sight. And I think that is so very cool. Now, I don't know whether their eyes like we got, whether or not he's got optic nerves and all that ligamentation there in the skull that runs together and he can scope. But I know this. He sees us. God Almighty sees us. That's a whopper of a notion, don't you think? It makes you want to bang your head against the wall. Don't you? He sees us and calls us by name. Man, that just absolutely blows me away. He calls what? By name, the gazillions and bazillions planets that are up in the sky. This creator that we worship, he didn't have nobody at central command in heaven. FYI, hey God, that woofly bozo, screwing up again. Doesn't need it, does he? He sees us. He sees us and he knows us. He sees me, he sees you, and our everyday, every way, walkabout way of life. And I think that is so phenomenal because, fellas, that's personal, that's intimate, and that's friendship. Friendship from the creator of the universe. Can you get your arms wrapped around that? I was in a sumo contest once. Fought a guy 408 pounds. I couldn't get my arms wrapped around him. Not that you'd really want to, mind you, but that notion just now. The creator of the universe is offering to us friendship. You know, friendship's a wonderful thing. Friendship is my buddy Pat. Pat brought me out here, didn't have to come out on a very snowy night. And on top of it, I hornswoggled him into driving, too. But that's friendship. It's also him probably figuring out he ain't got a chance in the world to find a Norwin Alliance church if I don't take the bull by the horns and get him there. Because Pastor Bob was right. I'd still be circumventing the area. All right? But that's friendship. For 28 years, I've had the privilege of counting as one of my best friends, if not my best friend, the guy he had here last year, the Turk, Tanchilkin. For 28 years, fellas, we have lived, loved, laughed together as we lined up on Sundays, raised our kids, taken them out to the park on Mondays. And we've gone through all the family heartaches of, for me, divorce, him, family illness, loss of fathers together. We've shared those things, trials, tribulations, and yet we've come through always saying, twin brothers from different mothers. You know, by the by, the Turk got me in more fights just because I always watched his back. Gadzooks. I mean, that guy just had a chip on his shoulder with that Turkish name thing. Well, I might as well throw one out there. We're in Cleveland, right? Not that I like to tell a story or two. We're in Cleveland. Guy fumbles the ball. Tunch goes after it. Defensive guy from Cleveland picks it up. Tunch goes to tackle him. Boom, they start a rumbling. And then they break it up, boom, and Tunch goes down. The guy backs up, and he throws the ball and kicks Tunch. Well, brother can't have it, can he? Boom, we're in, right? It's launch time. So away we go. Boom, boom, boom. Down, we're in a pile. Well, I'm a little bit pinned. But, you know, there's a way of sliding the forearm in, even when you can't move your arms, to do a little pummelation at the bottom, right? So they pull us apart. Boom, boom, boom. They pull this guy over here. They pull me up here. And all of a sudden I realized as he got up, he's screaming, he tried to choke me, that I might have redlined a bit too much. At that point, the official turns and he says, who? And he points right across. There's a pile of guys here. There's me, Ray Snell, Ray Penny, a couple of guys. And he goes, right there. And he goes, you're out of here. Number 72. I'm 73. That's Ray Snell. See ya, Ray. He was helping guys up. And the best part was he got fined $1,500. Matter of fact, I felt so bad, I took up a collection, passed a little coffee cup around, and I said, Ray, felt bad you took the hit for me, so I got $1.05 here if you... Jesus is described as being closer than a brother. Man, that's close. I'm tight with my brothers. I'm tight. I have two brothers that both went to WVU, so I'm not that tight with them. But I mean, but closer than a brother. Because Jesus came and died on the cross for our sins and gave himself for me, for you. It's a phenomenal thought. Knowledge of someone generally begins with eyesight. I mean, how can I know someone if I can't tell you, you know, what he or she looks like? It's pretty hard. I can hear a voice on the phone. I can know that I can know someone because I've seen that person. And some of my friends, quite frankly, I can smell a mile away. Pat. But you can't touch someone that you don't know who they are. Well, kind of makes for an awkward moment, doesn't it? When you kind of go up and lay a bear hug on somebody that ain't who the somebody you thought they were. You got to follow this reasoning, man. It's stunning, really. The whole thing is, and what it's all about, the eyes of the Lord has seen you, knows you. Psalms, and this is in chapter 139. It's a phenomenal chapter. And it tells us, starting in verse 13, For thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from thee. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth, thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet, not yet, one of them had happened. That was my part at the end. I kind of ad-libbed that. The point being, he's got our days already written out. He sees you and he knows you by name. He's already put in your DNA and all your gene code and all that stuff that I flunked several times when I was in school. He's written who you are. And he made it personal. Like a snowflake, like two snowflakes are exactly alike, so too. He's written your personality and he calls you by name and he's looking for you. He knows the number of the hairs on your head. For some of us, that's not too hard, right, brother? That's all right. You know what I tell them? God gives each man just so much testosterone. You want to use yours to grow hair? That's your business. But what is God telling us? He's telling us that he knows us. He knows me, he knows you, and he knows us intimately, totally, and lovingly. He formed you and he formed me, and he smiled on us when we were baby dough. He smiled on us when we were a twinkle in our daddy's eyes. That's a phenomenal thing to really take in. And do we really take that in? I hear a lot of people talking about they don't feel good about themselves. They don't feel like they're doing what they need to know to do. They want to do more of this and that. But know this. And I have a family member who I love so much, and she suffers from that. I say, know this, that the God of the universe knows your name. And he made you as special as you are. And that's a phenomenal thought that you have to wake up and carry with you every single day. The eyes of the Lord range throughout. Throughout where? Range throughout the earth. He's doing the big scope. What's God scoping?
What do you think he's looking for? He's looking. He's searching. He's identifying those whose hearts are fully committed to him.